Consonant. Don't you like that?
What the f*** is going on down there?
Welcome to WTF at TFW, where we talk a whole lot about Transformers and other things, like, for instance, the fact that I just found out Seth only just recently saw, completely unspoiled beforehand, a Lego movie.
Yes, as of the time of this recording, I had not seen the Lego movie yet.
It's amazing to me that you went in and were able to be unspoiled going in. That's really cool.
Well, most of the people on my that I follow on Twitter are good about not spoiling stuff in general. And then I've been having a hard time really keeping up with Twitter the last couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
So that combination of people being good and just not exposing myself to conversation, I was able to slide through.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say, you know, the spoilers here, but if anyone's seen the Lego movie, you know there is a big moment that would suck to know about going in.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy, Seth, that you didn't know about that moment going in.
Well, also talking about movies, this morning my girlfriend and I went to see the new Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 1.
I still haven't seen any of them, and I legitimately would like to.
This extreme tangent before anyone said the word Transformers has been moved to the end of the podcast after the music. Fast forward to there, or just stay tuned after we're done if you want to hear, like, they're freaking talking about movies.
Aside from the doings of Middle Earth, we've also got a little bit of Transformersing to talk about, starting off with a fan-made project, I think, which really caught my eye, because it's a very well-realized idea, and we were actually talking about something like this just the other week, about robots with two robot modes. This is Transformat, a toy line concept by professional toy inventor Andrew Mercer, aka Caution Low Sign. One of the things that really makes this legit. Now, there are two things. Number one, he actually has kit bash prototypes made. And if you watch his YouTube video, he stop motioned how the torso of the Optimus Prime would work. Number two, he got a piece of artwork done by the dynamic duo of Alex Milne and Josh Perez of basically three pieces of art for a Transformat Optimus Prime, which helps sell the concept a whole lot to me. But the base idea of the concept is, you know, in line with the 30th anniversary having taken place, what if there were Transformers toys of characters who could transform from their G1 robot mode into their modern movie robot mode? And I thought it was a cool idea. Like, if you're going to say, why would a character do that, then, the whole thing falls apart. I don't think there's any real narrative behind this. It's more so a conceptual thing. And I think it's a really cool concept. So I was digging this. I don't understand how this could ever really make it to shelves, but, getting Alex Milne and Josh Perez to do a piece of art for it does give it an extra air of legitimacy. And I'd like to see more of this idea if it's feasible for him to make a couple more kit bashes. But I don't know. Seth, how do you feel about Transformat?
Well, you didn't mention that video also stop motions Bumblebee.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. That goes from robot to robot. I mean, he hasn't shown, at least in the video, any robot to vehicle.
Yeah.
Even though that seems to be part of the plan. Like, there's also an image of a Starscream, but that's just using pictures of existing Starscream figures.
Yeah, he mentioned in his post that, like, that was just a concept mock-up just showing the two different toys next to each other.
Yeah.
And I suspect that the lack of him showing vehicle modes with his kit bashes is just the limitations of the kit bashes.
Right.
Now,
if it was able to be designed to actually do all three, then that would be pretty amazing. But even if it was just a toy line that goes from one, like a G1 version of the character to a movie version of the character without a vehicle mode, I still think that would be pretty cool and interesting.
Yeah, like just I think that's why I fixate so much on the Optimus Prime transformation. The way that he gets the silhouette to change and works in that pop-up, movie head, it just seems like it's a real fun piece of converting toy.
Yeah. I mean, so far the Prime one seems way more impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Just in that, I mean, it's also impressive with the Bumblebee, like how different the two forms are.
Yeah.
But the G1 Bumblebee, it kind of suffers a little bit, and looking really G1-ish, I mean, it's kind of close, but the movie form Bumblebee looks more like the movie.
Yeah.
Than the G1 looks G1. But even still, it's very, very impressive.
Yeah, like I think this is an applaudable effort. And
yeah, and conceptually, it's a really cool concept.
Yeah, my big hope is that him, you know, according to Josh Perez, they've been sitting on this info for a while. So my hope is that in revealing it, that doesn't mean that he's kind of closing the book on getting this actually made. I'm hoping there's some way this could be moved on to onto Hasbro in some fashion. I'm not sure really how.
Do you sell the concept to them? Do they have to hire them?
Because if they were selling them,
does Hasbro just like turn its back on the whole thing and pretend they didn't see it because of some legal nonsense?
Well, yeah, if him showing it publicly like this is what makes me worried, because usually what's been said is if you go out there saying, hey, I made this repaint, Hasbro, will you make this? If they make it, then legally on the lawyer end, there's huge trouble. Because it calls into question, well, who created this, Hasbro or this fan who doesn't work for us? I don't know. There's a lot of Lego mumbo jumbo that I'm only like, I have a finger on it, and it's got like 500 places to put fingers. But I hope this can be realized in some form, because it's super cool. Who else would you want to see in this? Like just keeping it to G1 to movie. Who would you want to see in here?
I don't know if you could pull off like an Ironhide or a Ratchet, just because their colors are so different.
Oh, an Ironhide who like turns inside out would be so cool.
Yeah. In that case, you might have to not have a vehicle mode.
Yeah.
Like if they did just do like this one robot to another robot thing. And then I don't even know if Hasbro would be interested in that, but
yeah, I mean, the 30th anniversary is come and gone, too, but it would be so cool to see. Like, I mean, breaking my own rule, I'd love to see animated Lockdown into movie Lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
Just the whole idea of this is rife for potential of the turn inside out idea that Studio Half-Eye did that on a way more complicated level, where they had a robot toy. I forgot the series it was from, but he basically changed from a blue robot to a red robot by literally turning inside out panel by panel. And it was a super cool piece of engineering. I'd love to see something, maybe on, you know, not that level, but similar in concept happen on a mass release. But yeah, please check this out if you haven't. If you've written it off because it's related to movie, I'd implore you, like, suck up the movie part and just take a look at, you know, the coolness of the concept and the kitbash stuff. Anyway, moving into some new picture picks. Seth, is there something that's calling to you?
Yeah, how about Combiner Wars Alpha Brado production design?
Yeah!
With possible alternate head design.
So this came from the official Facebook page, apparently.
Yes. Yeah, so it kind of shows some concept art for Alpha Bravo next to, so you get a sketch, you get the gray prototype model, get the finished product. You get another sketch with, like, color placement. And then this alternate head design that doesn't have a faceplate.
Yeah.
And visor eyes. Which has implied more, like, or people are reading into it more of, like, maybe there is going to be a productive bot version where this would then be Blades.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that, this is totally, like, side topic-y about the character Alpha Bravo.
Yeah.
So when my girlfriend and I moved into our new place, there's this downstairs den, which I decided is going to be referred to as Alpha Command Base Bravo.
Mm-hmm.
And then just the other day, I was telling her, like, oh, yeah, these new Transformers are coming out. One's a helicopter named Alpha Bravo. And she kind of looks back at me like, are you making a joke? I'm like, no, that's actually the character's name. The character's named Alpha Bravo. And she's like, okay, that's kind of cool.
Are you guys going to get a special Alpha Bravo to just hang from the ceiling or something for Alpha Command Base Bravo?
I don't think so. That's an idea, though. Maybe I should pitch it to her.
Yeah, he's the mascot, you know?
Yeah. And so, yeah, I ended up just pre-ordering, like, all the Combiner War stuff from Big Bad, so I don't have to worry about, like, finding it.
I did that more
so. It's getting really hard to find stuff these days.
I did that out of sheer impatience.
A little bit of that too.
Me and Ian Reed, thank goodness Big Bad actually got that stuff in to some degree. Like, I think they didn't get in enough deluxes to fulfill all their pre-orders.
But yeah, they've actually been getting that. My deluxe pre-order didn't convert yet, but the other parts did.
Yeah, my deluxe
one, still listed as pre-ordered.
My deluxe one converted a few days after reports came in that some of the first ones were converting.
Uh-huh.
So I guess I got in early enough. I
got the Legends and the Voyager.
Yeah.
Converted, as did my RC and Chromia. So all that's waiting in a pile of loot. I'm waiting for the deluxes to happen.
I was sitting there, fingers crossed, if these deluxes don't convert by the weekend, I've got to ship it anyway, because that's when I'm going to be in the States. And then they converted, and I was like, okay, thank goodness, because that would have been annoying otherwise. But, me and Ian Reed, Hard Return, were not only... He was in the same position as me, of constantly going back and checking Robot Kingdom, who for the longest time were the only guys saying they were getting it in December. And he even had figured out, the bastard, how much it would have cost to just order two sets of Combiner Wars Wave 1 and ship it together. And he was like, if we did this and split it, it would come out to this. And I was like, oh, don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. And we both had sat there just going like, and then, didn't. And thank goodness, because a $50 cheaper method came in to pull that off. But I'm waiting on the Robots in Disguise stuff. I didn't go pre-orders. I almost did, then I was like, no, this will be around for a while. But with Combiner Wars, that play pattern, I gotta feel it, I'm watching people play with it, and I'm, like, getting jealous. But yeah, Alpha Bravo, I'm kind of glad that he's the one concept sheet they put out, because all the other ones I find a little bit less interesting. Like, he's the one who's in a Wave 1. He's a fully original character to make.
Yeah.
I hope they release more of these on the Facebook page, because this is a really cool way to combine a lot of the stuff that usually you'd only see at BotCon, like those color sheets and the gray model picks.
Right.
I was really happy about this. I was going to ask you, do you have any stake in the big argument over whether or not Alpha Bravo is a pockmark on the line, what with him being not Slingshot or a jet?
I don't think I would go so far as to say pockmark. It's, I don't know, like, I'm not upset about it, but there's a little kind of a niggling feeling of like, it's kind of too bad they weren't all jets.
I meant to say blemish, and I don't know how that came out as pockmark. Okay,
well, maybe I would say blemish is a little too strong also.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it's kind of too bad they're not all jets, but I'm not upset about it.
So I forgot about something.
If they didn't name him Alpha Bravo, if they named him something, like, if they just called him Slingshot or had a less, in-joke name.
Yeah. I forgot about something while I was doing a little bit of reading up on Alpha Bravo. And what I forgot about is apparently back in 09 at a BotCon, and I started to remember this when I read it, it was stated that the name Slingshot actually had fallen out of their ability to use. And ever since 09, Slingshot had been replaced with names like Air Razor. And I was like, I forgot about all of that. That said, like, I'm kind of in your position of, like, I don't really mind that he's a helicopter called Alpha Bravo, but I also keep looking at pictures of a Superion that is using, like, just extra jets. Like, people who bought duplicates and just made a 4-jet-limb Superion.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of like, that looks super cool. And I don't think the helicopter looks bad, but I wouldn't be opposed to them recoloring Fireflight as Slingshot and giving him some different name in some convention set somewhere. I was thinking a cool idea for a convention set would be do all the guys who didn't get made as Combiner Wars limbs and just give them like numbers for names or something, just as a big like, here's the wink and nod. You want your Slingshot and your Wild Rider. Here you go. But I don't know. I'm figuring that could be like some mid-tier San Diego thing. Anyway, I'm really looking forward to all of us getting to talk about Combiner Wars in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, hopefully those deluxes will convert If they convert, then I'll ship my pile of loot right away and hopefully get it by the next odd show.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's just really going to depend on when it converts, because it's like 6 to 7 business days for me to get something from Big Bad.
Yeah. I mean, we'll talk about it one way or another. The podcast will continue. We'll get there eventually. But, I'm really happy that we're going to be able to actually talk about how they feel in hand.
Yeah.
My own new picture pick is something that came up. I was kind of out of nowhere, and I thought it was a nice bit of news, considering how often I've been a little bit down on the idea of G1 reissues. We got suddenly a picture of a box set of the 3 Insecticons as G1 reissues sold, in a long box. And there's a cross sell on the back showing Seeker Squadron as G1 reissues of the 3 Coneheads. So number one, the 3 Coneheads, I always thought were the superior color palette toys of the 6 original G1 Jets. So I'm kind of stoked about that, because I love Ramjet and Dirge. I still got my G1 one, so I don't really need that, but if I can ever see them on a shelf somewhere again, that would be a nice experience. Number two, I think the Insecticons are one of the best bang for your buck, you know, get 3 G1 toys in a box sets you can get. The bookcase reissue of the 3 of them was fan-friggin-tastic. And
I got it.
Yeah, and they are legit good G1 toys, all 3 of them. And if they're coming out, I hope they can hit a sweet price point, something like, I don't know, maybe $50, 50 or 60. And, I'm happy to see this, because G1 reissues haven't been around for a while, outside of, like, I think the last time was, what, Predaking? A year or two ago?
Yeah, I think so.
So, I don't know. It's cool to see this making its way over. I don't know if maybe this is going to be Hasbro Asia rather than North America, but I think it's really cool. So Seth, you got those reissue Insecticons as well way back.
Right. So I'm guessing I wouldn't have a need for this.
Yeah.
I have to go back and look at my G1 Seeker collection and make sure I don't have any holes. I thought I had all of them, including the Ghost Starscream and Black Starscream that they did.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if I would need to get a Conehead 3 pack. But man, how much is that going to cost?
If they could get a Conehead 3 pack out for a really good price, that would be nice to see. Cause I don't actually really know how much one of those would cost at North American retail right now. Like I couldn't
just an off the cuff guess. Like, I don't know if they would be able to do it for less than 100.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause there's a lot of parts and they're pretty big.
Yeah.
Now that I'm thinking about it, if it did...
50 is pushing it for the Insecticons, too.
Yeah, I think like it's more like 60, 70.
If it was at Toys R Us,
yeah,
then forget it. It's going to be stupid.
I was just thinking about it now. If I did see that Conehead 3-pack for a good price, I don't have a Thrust, and my Dirge and Ramjet are from my childhood and beat the hell up. And getting just, like, minty new ones would be kind of tempting. I hope this stuff is real, and I hope it's able to make its way out sooner than later. The box art, I think it looks pretty fantastic. The packaging in general, actually. Like, that is a striking frigging box. That looks like Platinum Edition. Not talking too much smack on previous Platinum toys, but, like, that box art with that friggin' slick, you know, the black pinstripe on the right side and the chrome name tag looks fancy. Like, capital F fancy.
Yeah, that's a cool box, for sure.
Yeah. And if it's the Insecticons, it can't be that big. Like, there's not a ton of... Well, there's a lot of space around.
No, the Insecticons are pretty little.
Yeah.
But in that picture where the box, like, the window flap is open, there is a bit of empty space, like, in the corners.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look that crazy. It doesn't look like reissue... Or Masterpiece Prowl crazy.
Oh, man, Masterpiece Prowl.
Oh, and it looks like they come with I didn't notice that at first. They come with 3, like, Energon cubes.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
It's perfect extra for them.
Yeah.
And they seem to all be chromed up and everything still. Nothing changed on the actual toys.
Oh, especially if they fit in the little cockpits.
Oh, those are from the eHobby versions, aren't they? Or did the bookcase one come with those too?
I don't remember.
I'm really sure the e-hobby red ones came with Energon cubes that did fit in the cockpits.
Okay.
I bet you that's what that's from. Anyway, that's...
I want to say the regular book edition didn't, but it's been a really long time since I've messed with them.
Yeah. You know, either way, like, this is a really cool looking set. You know, if you're a fan who never got at G1 Insecticons, if this is a decent price, like, it'll be well worth your time.
Yeah, the G1 Insecticons, they're such a good team with their matching color scheme.
Yeah.
They're just cool.
And they transform really well. Like, they're legit good toys. Anyway, that really caught my eye, so I wanted to highlight that. Something else that caught my eye, because I heard about it real fast. I'd already seen the news item, but I heard about it real fast anyway on social media. We talked about the game Transformers Universe a whole lot on this podcast through its weird storied development. And the newest announcement is the game will see full closure on January 31st of next year. The game is dead. They are not going to move out of beta. They have been running a beta for a while. They are refunding everyone who put money into the game for Founders Packs. And it's getting shut down after all this time. I saw people talking about, can't wait to hear what I'm going to say about it. What with me yelling about the game so much for all these months. I got nothing to yell about. I think this is actually really both predictable and kind of sad. Topped off by news I received on Twitter. So I reposted the interview I did with moderator Crow from the JAGX team at BotCon this past year. And I put it up saying, hey, it's kind of a bummer. Someone replied saying, it's a double bummer because it turns out that guy you interviewed, moderator Crow, got sacked from JAGX in November and they didn't find out till about 2 weeks ago. And I was linked to a thread where it was his goodbye post he wrote in November. And the next post was another moderator this month saying, I've been allowed to make this public. And revealing that one of their most active moderators actually had been kicked out of the company ever since, or I guess downsized out of the company since a month prior. So that left a pretty bad taste in my mouth. But this closure is, it's nothing to celebrate. It's nothing to get mad about. This game took too long to come out, and its aesthetic was hugely tied to the Prime aesthetic, which, even though it's kind of there in this new show, I think that just a lot of the cards are stacked against this thing. There are like three or four mobile games out that are getting big push right now. There's nowhere for this pseudo MOBA to fit. And it sucks for all the art assets and work they put into it. It sucks, especially given that during that interview, I said, are you guys going to do anything with all these original characters? And the implication was we'd like to. So, you know, I think it's a bummer. And it's a sad way to end this weird saga of Transformers Universe. I'm going to miss seeing them at every single BotCon. But I don't know. Seth, what's your perspective on this?
Well, when I first saw the title on the front page to the story, I was like, wait, that's not that MOBA-ish game that they've been working on, right? That's got to be the... Because they also talk about refunding relic packs.
Oh, yeah,
I'm like, wait, this has to be that mobile card game thing.
I wish it was.
And then I like... Yeah, then I just Googled Transformers Universe and went to the website and I was like, oh, no. Wow. Really? Already? Yikes.
It's a real... Like, it's just... I mean, for all the time they put into it, as predictable as it is, it just friggin' sucks, man. Like... All those art assets and all that work and all those trailers kind of for nothing. This happens in video games, but I was kind of looking forward to this thing actually existing so I could play it in a non-beta form and put my own little end cap on it. And I never ended up playing the beta, and I kind of wish I did now. I don't know. Like, did you have? I mean, this was a weird game in the first place. Were you ever thinking of jumping in at some point, whenever it actually came out?
It's very possible I would have at least tried it out, yeah. Like whatever free anything was available, just whenever I made time for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I waited too long. Well, it looks like you still play it.
You can't make new accounts anymore.
Oh, so. All right. Yeah, because it was funny, because when I went to the website to investigate, there was no mention about it shutting down. There was just like, play for free, and a big button. But then there was like this button kind of in the corner that said go to full sight. And then I was like, why did this not just take me to the full sight already? It's not like I'm looking at this on my phone. I'm looking at this on my desktop. Click. And then there's the big, oh, we are sorry to announce we're shutting everything down. Thanks for all the fish. And
yeah. I mean, if I have one request to make of anyone who's out there who could, I'd like to see archive captures made of all those animations of transforming robots that were there in the character pages. Watched
a couple of those.
Yeah,
because I was still like, wait, I'm misunderstanding something. This can't be that game. Okay, I'm gonna watch these characters. No, it's that game. Yep, this is the one.
I hope that a lot of that site can be archived. I hope those art assets can go into something for all the work people put into them. Like I said, this happens to video games and computer games a lot, like that, you know, work is done and it goes nowhere. This just happens to be Transformers, and so obviously I've got a major bias there. But, my condolences go out to everyone who was excited about the game, and huge condolences go out to all the people who worked on it, especially, you know, moderator Crow, whose departure from the whole thing, in my opinion, was real foul to see.
Crow, foul, Crow.
Yeah,
foul,
you see what I did there? Woo!
Crow.
I this is also entirely driven by my experience with NCSoft and the way City of Heroes closed. I just don't like the idea of hiding that a major community member or community coordinator member has left without, and then just wait until, oh, the game's getting canceled. By the way, one of the community team was let go and moved on to other things. It's like, come on, you know, that speaks real ill to whoever it was that was in charge of being able to say, don't let that out. To me, that feels a slight bit disrespectful towards the enthusiast community you already had by not letting them know someone they were interacting with from your team is not there anymore. So that's it put a real bad taste in my mouth, and I was like, no, I can't like joke and celebrate about this. This just sucks for everybody involved. There is, of course, a petition up saying we actually want to play the game. I don't think that'll accomplish anything. I think the shutdown of the game, when I divorce myself from any feelings, it makes complete sense, and I'm not surprised it happened. I don't think that this thing's going to get saved anytime soon. But, you know.
Yeah, and I don't imagine it had a big enough or rabid enough fan base to like set up an official server. Like, I guess the Matrix Online still exists.
Yeah.
By some like fan run servers and.
Well, wasn't this game browser based? Like, I don't know if people even were able to download a local copy of anything. That's how MMO servers happen usually, is like you have a local copy of the game on your computer. It's just the server that's missing. Unless like someone from Jagex just gets real mad and puts the game up on like a torrent site somewhere. But yeah, that's all I really got to say about that. I think it kind of sucks, but you know, it's not a very nice Christmas present for a whole lot of people,
especially the people that worked on it.
Yeah. I don't know. It's for something with such a powerful license behind it to get canned too. I expect that the morale over at Jagex has got to be low right now.
Yeah.
I think they mentioned somewhere that they're moving on to other projects. They're, you know, it's not like Jagex is dead, but I don't know. Anyone from Jagex who'd like to make a comment, if you happen to be listening to this somehow, please feel free. If you want to talk to us on Skype, let me know too. I'd really be interested to hear your perspective. I don't want to do it as some kind of, you know, talk a whole bunch of crap on your boss's thing, but I'm curious about what you guys are feeling if you're out there anywhere. Any other thoughts on this, Seth, or shall we move on?
Move on.
All right.
It's just a bummer, and what are you gonna do? Can't do nothing about it.
I mean, in the big scope of things, video games get canceled. That's something I've learned. We've got listener question from Shion, or Shion 963, who says, greetings to the award-winning Avenger 1-Us, Seth Buzzard, TJ Omega, and Aaron, where applicable for whichever team is on. I've quite recently rekindled my love for transforming robots after a long detour down Gundams and various mechanime. Didn't know that was a thing. And WFC and FOC's unashamedly superior non-Terran alt modes does right what boring old vehicles, human vehicles missed. Sad shame that the FOC Deluxes were hit by the, by capital TE, the economy. I like that. And the angular, geometrical, Cybertronian aesthetic dying along with High Moon Studios. I should clarify, High Moon Studios isn't dead, just that they, I don't think they're making a Transformers game ever again anytime soon, unfortunately. Anyway, goes on to say that I'm here to ask a question, and that question is, am I the only one wishing for a deluxe-sized Metroplex or deluxe-sized CityBots? I absolutely adored FOC Metroplex being an undeniably badass building-sized wrecking machine, but Titan Metroplex and any other interpretation of design whose main selling points include being of great stature, size, and price are both major turnoffs as I find small fiddle toys more enjoyable. The recent spate of Ulthurp transforming robots, focusing more on highly engineered legend-sized figures, that being unlicensed third-party, put the thought of a more practical downscaled Metroplex, engineered more for converting from humanoid robot to spaceship alt mode that the IDW comics featured during the mass exodus of CityBots. They won't be scale matched to anything, but I dare anyone to honestly say that a lineup of deluxe scaled city spaceships isn't cool. Or maybe have all of them in robot mode duking it out to prove which city's the best, like I assume how football, real football, or hockey works. With that epic image of miniature scaled giant robot carnage, I officially end my query. Hope everyone on the podcast will have a nice rest of day. Peace out. I would totally be there with you. The idea of a smaller Metroplex toy that just turns into its spaceship mode and kind of looks like a city, I think that's super cool. I don't know if that would work anywhere in the current plans of mainline stuff, and I don't know if there are enough people who buy third-party things interested in actually buying that. Eagles TF actually did a small-scaled G1-style Metroplex toy. I think it was only available as a resin kit, but it's out there, and I thought it was a really cool idea. Especially with you name-dropping the idea of spaceship alt modes, that sounds really cool to me. I would be into that. But Seth, how do you feel?
Yeah, I think they would be an easier sell at a smaller size if you made them spaceships.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you could come up with some sort of story that they're like a smaller form that they could copy their minds into for when they need to, like, you know, go to a meeting and be in a building and not the building. I think part of the reason why those characters are cool is because they are gigantic.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's a little, I could see how it would work, but do you want a small Metroplex? I guess this guy does, but doesn't the character kind of lose something by being small?
Is it
really Metroplex anymore?
Well, I guess it depends on just how much you like the design of Metroplex. Like, obviously, I think it's implied in this question you wouldn't be displaying it with any other toys, really.
Right.
Like, you know, you wouldn't put them aside the other ones going, like, here's tiny Metroplex. But, like, you know, you do a beefy, smaller-scaled Metroplex who turns into, like, just a crazy friggin' battleship gothic, like, you know, Titan-class spaceship thing. I think it could work. I mean, I wouldn't fly him around or stand him with other toys very anytime soon. But
do a subline, call it City Battles, and do all the giant characters.
Yeah, and then maybe,
so even though they're smaller, they're to scale with each other.
Yeah, and then maybe pack in with them little static figurines of really big Transformers that would be tiny to them, at like, you know, 1 or 2 inches tall. I think, like, there could combiners. Be something to that.
Devastator.
Yeah, like a little 1-inch tall, like, Devastator figurine who comes with, like, a 6-inch tall Metroplex or something. I think there's something to that. Like, it could be cool. Like, because that whole idea of, like, I'd like a Metroplex I could just put on my desk and mess around with, I completely can empathize with that. Like, that makes sense to me. I don't think there's any venue for it right now, but right now, it seems like the bigger trend is let's make smaller figures that can work with the existing big Metroplexes out there. But no, it was a cool idea. Thanks for the input, Sheon963. I don't know, Seth. What do you think about the idea of, like, you know, if Metroplex is always big, like, would you be into the idea of here's a Metroplex for your desk, like if it was sold to you, like, in that way?
Maybe. I just don't know if that's something Hasbro would do.
Yeah.
And like you said, there was a smaller one of those guys already.
Eagles TF.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that guy, he just does projects and releases resin versions. And then every now and then, I think like his cassettes got picked up by Keith's Fantasy Club and redone in plastic.
Yeah. Because I thought I did remember a small... Was it Metroplex or
it was a very G1
Fort Max?
It's a very G1 Metroplex.
Okay, wasn't there a small Fort Max somewhere along the line?
There's the Kabaye kit. There's the Junior
maybe
from back in the day.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what this guy needs. He just needs the Kabaye kits. Oh no, I was thinking of the Junior.
Yeah. Here I looked. I googled Eagle TF Metroplex and I found his resin kit, which this was done very much like the cassettes he did, where it was like, you know, one of 30.
Right.
And yeah, it's just G1 Metroplex, tiny sticker sheet, tiny scale, smaller than an iPad. And like I looked at this and I was like, I see the draw.
Smaller than an iPad.
Like it's kind of neat. A little posable Metroplex.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm against the concept. I just don't know.
Yeah.
How exciting it is for me.
Yeah, I mean, if it doesn't resonate with you, that's that. And it's one of those things I think the internet is slowly learning more and more, is like, if you're not into something, that doesn't mean that it's also bad.
Yeah.
I saw there was a poll someone started on the Toy Discussion sub forum, which was basically third-party combiners versus combiner wars, and it was a two-option poll. And I was really impressed by how many replies... We're not participating in the poll, but more participating in the conversation of why is this a two-option poll, and are these not such, like, similar but utterly dissimilar items?
Yeah.
Like, like the number of people who had that epiphany made me really happy.
Well, it's like when there was that third-party swerve and the Hasbro swerve, and some people are like, what's the better one? It's like, they're completely different. They're different things for different reasons.
Yeah, one of them costs, like, nearly four times or five times as much as the other, yeah. So... There's your decision to make, number one. Like to me, if there is a comparison to be made in with Combiner Wars coming, but it's more so what gives you the best bang for your buck. Like, do you feel you're getting a higher percentage of buck bang out of Combiner Wars, or do you feel like you're getting even more to match with the higher price of unofficial combiners? That's the big question, I think, to ask.
Right.
And that's going to vary from person to person. There was literally a reply, which was like, would this not vary from person to person depending on tastes and available money and lifestyle? And I was like, yeah, that's right. Y'all are catching on. It's not Team A versus Team B. Hooray. Anyway, let's take a quick break. And then we'll come back and talk a little what we got and whatever else happens here on WTF at TFW. Your source... for bookended movie conversation with a filling of Transformers meat and potatoes. Why would you put potatoes on a sandwich? I don't know.
I don't know. I like those potato burritos from Jack in the Box, though.
I haven't been to a Jack in the Box in, I think, ever.
You're not missing that much.
Okay.
Sometimes anyway. I get a craving for it. Sometimes I want... Wait, did I say Jack in the Box or Taco Bell?
You said Jack in the Box.
Oh, man, I'm tired. Well, they have weird tacos at Jack in the Box. Okay. I meant to say Taco Bell.
I've been to Taco Bell.
Burritos at Taco Bell.
I don't go very often, because every time I eat a Taco Bell once every couple years, it gives me real funny feelings afterwards.
Yeah. The menu at Jack in the Box, though, is weird. They got a weird menu, man. They got all your hamburgers, and then they have like these weird tacos. They have weird egg rolls. They used to have these like teriyaki rice bowls, but they took those off the menu. It's weird. They throw weird stuff up on that menu to see what people will actually eat.
That's the one where the guy who owns the company is a guy in a business suit who has a big smiley face with a hat for a head, right?
Yeah.
I've never been there. I've never been to Jack in the Box. I've just seen the commercials.
Yeah, the old commercials, like in the 70s, were like people driving up to drive-thrus. And at the time, the speaker box looked like a big Jack in the Box, like a clown head popping out of a big box.
That would terrify me.
Right. And then they did an ad campaign where now Jack in the Box was like smartening or like classing it up. So they did this series of commercials where they were blowing up the Jack in the Boxes. Then in the 90s, they started the current ad campaign, which is Jack, who's supposed to be the owner, who's the Jack in the Box headed guy. And now he's coming back, and he shows a clip of when they were blowing up all the Jack in the Boxes. And like he's walking through like an office building, and he's talking about like, oh, how they did him dirty back in the day. But he's back now, and he pulls a little box out of his jacket pocket, pushes a button, and like the boardroom explodes. So he basically just murders the entire board. And that was like, that aired like a week or two before the World Trade Center bombing, where Excellent. They tried to set off a bomb in the basement. So then they had to pull the ad, and then they did like other, then they started like the current campaign where it's just like Jack in these different situations. But yeah, it was crazy.
Like, I really want to go to one, because I want to, like, it sounds like it's just like a chaos engine.
Yeah. No, they got a weird menu. And like, man, like, I haven't gotten a breakfast sandwich there in like 10 or 12 years. But the danger with their breakfast sandwiches were they put an obscene amount of mayonnaise on them.
Yeah.
Like, I like a little bit of mayonnaise. Give me a thin layer of mayonnaise. But they would just be like this giant glob dripping out. And it's like, why all this mayonnaise is too much?
So we got too much mayonnaise and we got to get rid of it. That's why.
Yeah, but they're like big ticket burgers, the ultimate bacon cheeseburger, which is like, what is it? It's like, I think it's, man, it's been a long time since I've had one, but it's two or three patties with two or three layers of bacon and like five slices of cheese or something like that. It's
all right.
Yeah.
It's gross. It's gross.
Hello, I'm Jack, founder of Jack in the Box. Perhaps you remember when I was fired. Ever since that setback, I vow to one day regain my rightful place as head of Jack in the Box. Today, thanks to the miracle of plastic surgery, I'm back and ready to make Jack in the Box better than ever.
That's stone cold. Holy shit. Back to the room even. He's just looking at, he's like, whatever. Those lives don't mean anything.
That's it. That's his house. Mr. Brad Haley?
Relax. Did I win something?
My sources tell me you've been calling Jack in the Box, Junk in the Box.
So?
I take these things personally, Brad.
Get lost.
Sure, just try my food, apologize, and I'll go.
Beat it, clown!
Listen, punk! I spent millions of dollars improving my kitchens to make our best burgers ever!
They're psycho!
Oh yeah! Whoop them good, Jack!
Brad, you get to try my best burger ever, and all I want is your honest opinion.
Tasty!
Really? You're not just saying that because I'm kneeling on your spine?
No, I shouldn't have dissed your food, man. I'm sorry, Jack.
Well, I'm sorry about the grass stains.
Really?
No.
Hey, Seth, we're back.
Hey, man.
Hey, yo.
Let's go get hamburgers and weird tacos.
I really want to now. Every time I see garbage fast food stuff that entertains me, all I think is there's a Wendy's about 20 minutes from here. And Wendy's is high-class fast food. I try to only go there maybe two or three times a year, tops. It's dangerous.
I'm trying to remember the last time I've been to a Wendy's. It's been a long time.
Wendy's is still the nicest of the garbage fast food that I've had. Like, of the garbage companies. They're the top tier.
Like, there's a street here in town where there's like a bunch of fast food places along the street, and Wendy's is like the farthest. No, Taco Bell's the farthest one down, But it's like in this weird sort of middle where it's not near either of the ends to where, like, you want, like, if you're going down the street, it's like, we're going to hit one of these fast food places. It's like, well, these ones are at this end and Taco Bell's at the other end and Wendy's is just sort of in the middle and then you forget Wendy's is there. So, I don't know. That and there, yeah, square hamburgers, whatever.
Hey, Baconators. Those are top tier. All I'm going to say.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
But we're going to talk about some what we got this week. Be it food or not, I'm not sure. We're going to start off by talking about Transformers-related stuff we got this week. So, Seth, I'd like to know if you got any Transformers stuff this week.
I got Masterpiece Bumblebee.
Masterpiece Bumblebee? We've been talking about how cool that toy is. Do you think it's a cool toy?
That's because it is cool.
All right!
I love his robot mode. His robot mode is amazing.
Yeah.
His car mode is also very well done.
Can I run by you the two common critiques I've seen of him? See what you think about those?
Okay, hit me.
Number one, he's got hollow forearms.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of hollow forearms.
Does it impact your enjoyment of him very much, or do you just kind of not care?
It's like a little niggly, nitpicky kind of gripe, but it's not ruining it for me.
Yeah.
Well,
number two...
It's slightly disappointing that it has hollow forearms, but everything else is so well done, I'm forgiveful.
The other complaint I've seen is he is too small. So how do you feel about his size?
I like his size. I have to dig up my Masterpiece Prime. It's just still packed away from the move.
Mm-hmm.
To compare, but I mean, he seems all right next to the other cars.
I was just
supposed
them...
to be small.
Yeah, yeah, he is. Especially since they're following the G1 animation lineup. I just put him next to MP Prime because I got them out because I'm filming a display stage thing, and he is about a head or head and a half taller than over Prime's kneecap. He's around about the right height.
Uh huh.
But, yeah, I mean, those two things don't really bother me much at all. Like, the hollow... I was telling Aaron and TJ this. Like, the hollow forearms thing, like, I'm not going to say it's defensible, but it's like, if I'm going to say that it does anything bad for me, I'm kind of lying to myself. Like, I just don't really care. There's so much else going on with him. Like, yeah. I have to stop and be like, oh, and he's got a hollow forearm, like, as though it's work. So...
Yeah. Well, in the last odd episode, like, I had just shipped it,
mm-hmm.
So I hadn't had him yet, and you had him, and he said, oh, I'm interested about what you think about this cool thing his hood does.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to spoil what that is still, but what do you think of what his hood does?
Well, when I was transforming him without the instructions.
Yeah, me too.
Like, it was pretty intuitive, and I get to a part where I'm like, okay, well, clearly this isn't supposed to be sticking down. Like, I'm looking at the pictures, I see this isn't here, this has to fold up and go away. And I'm trying to just fold it up, but it's not working. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. What am I doing wrong? Why doesn't this go away? And then I do the thing. Like, I just sort of, like, accidentally hit the thing, and it happens. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that must be the thing that Angelus was talking about. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. I've been having a lot of fun talking with people getting that toy, and, like, everyone's kind of into it of, like, yeah, the thing. No one wants to really say it, because it's like... Everyone understands if you just tell someone that happens before they get it, you've kind of taken a little magic moment away.
Yeah.
There's a magic moment.
Yeah. And it's not like some of the better, like, automorph head reveal kind of gimmicky things.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of like, oh, okay, it works that way. It doesn't work the easy way that I thought it would. It's this slightly more interesting way that it works. So, you know, it's cool and all, but it's not like, oh my god, they reinvented the wheel.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those things where if you tell someone, it's like you've taken the glitter off of their birthday card, you know? Like, it's an extra little cherry on top.
Yeah, but he's cool. And then in the great Daniel versus Spike debate, I have to admit, like, because of the hair poof, it does look like Daniel. But in the instructions, there's a picture of the exosuit, and it's, like, weird vehicle mode. And I'm pretty sure that's a picture of Spike.
I think that's Daniel. in is there. It? Yeah.
I thought it was Spike.
I was really sure, because that picture is what really convinced me, because I was like, well, that's Cartoon Daniel.
Okay.
Flying around in his exosuit. It doesn't make
sense to me for it to be Daniel, so I don't care if it kind of looks like Daniel. I'm just going to pretend it's Spike.
I like the number of people who have defaulted to Exosuit Witwicky. That's kind of my favorite name for him now.
Okay, that's fine. And then it looks like that Ultra Magnus is coming with Spike and Daniel.
Yeah, in their jumpsuits.
Yeah, so that's kind of cool.
And it's got a seat up front for them, like a full-on like little cockpit in the cab. Yeah, that's freaking cool.
Because I got those little third-party spark plug and spikes that fit into a G1 Optimus Prime. So when I saw that Ultra Magnus is going to have a thing like that, I was like, oh, amazing. That's really cool.
Yeah. I still want to... That also just makes me think of, like, all the different theories about whatever happened to spark plug and Chip Chase.
They moved on with their lives.
Yeah.
Spark Plug probably had a heart attack at some point because he had a poor diet.
Well, for a long time back in the Usenet days, there was a rumor of a deleted scene from the Transformers movie that had been animated where Ratbat and Laserbeak pick him up and rip him in half. And that was a fun rumor back in the day.
Spark Plug?
Yeah, the dad.
Yeah, that'd be horrifying.
Right?
Like Rumble pushes Chip down the flight of stairs or something?
And then there's a slow 5-minute pan in on Chip as he's lying with his neck broken trying to breathe.
Yeah, his arms and legs are all akimbo. Like one wheel on his chair is still turning.
I always thought, I mean, like a lot of the root of that stuff is like, you know, anime is awesome and extreme and it's the 90s and we're going to just make all this stuff up. But I also always thought like, some of that must have come from people just going like, well, they did such horrifying things to the Autobots in the shuttle when they killed a whole bunch of them.
Yeah, but those are robots.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But like,
I don't think you could rip a human character in half and get away with it.
I love the idea that they would have actually animated it too and then presented it. Like, hey, we spent all week animating this horrifying look, you can see how many spinal column chunks there are.
Well, they rip him in half, all his guts come spilling out. Right as the Hot Rod and Daniel are driving in and it dumps onto Hot Rod's windshield. All these intestines and stuff.
They just farm it out to the guys who did the Fist of the North Star theatrical movie from the 80s.
This isn't what we asked them to do. We can't use this.
We'll just get them to hold on to it for now. And then, okay. That company, right? The uncut, unblurred version of that Fist of the North Star movie doesn't exist anymore because the only surviving print of it was lost in a warehouse fire decades ago. So we could start a rumor that all the stuff they made for the Transformers movie that was too violent was in that warehouse, along with the exhaust episode. That's why no one has it anymore. But
Bumblebee's rad.
Yeah, Bumblebee's pretty cool. What do you think of the exosuit transformation? Because that's my favorite part of it.
It was way more complicated than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And if it really worked like that and somebody was inside, they'd probably be seriously injured.
Well, did you get to the part a bunch of us got to where it's like you fold his chest down and it's like, oh, there's room for Daniel to fit inside. But then you like tear his lungs open.
Right. Yeah. I'm transforming it for the first time, and I'm like, this guy is dead. I just killed this guy.
Yeah.
It's a little, I mean, you have to take the little bubble canopy off to turn his head up, but I don't know. Then plugging it back in turned, kind of, I guess you have to be able to take it off.
Yeah.
Parts form it to move the head, but I don't know.
I kind of wish that the toy cost an extra $15 and that the exosuit did a little bit more as far as just posability and arm gimmicks. Because it transforms so much that it's like, well, now it isn't really an accessory anymore. It's just a simplified figure. And now I'm kind of like, man, I wish that it was a more fancy figure and that this was a more expensive 2-pack. But I also really like the exosuit, so that's probably some bias.
If it didn't transform, I think that would be disappointing.
Oh, yeah. It's just I was expecting the transformation to be like suck legs in and clap his arms to his sides and like that's that.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting too.
By doing so much more, now I'm getting greedy and I'm like, well, now I wish his elbows worked better and that, you know, his arms could transform into those things that shot the Unicron digestive acid vat lid. Give me more. Let it do more.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. They should still do that Huffer that they had design drawings for.
Yeah. I would love for that to happen.
Do more of the small Autobots. And have them come with more human characters. You know, Chip.
I want Chip Chase with a transforming wheelchair.
What does this transform into?
I want it to be 80s Chip Chase, and then his wheelchair transforms into like a hover wheelchair with guns on it for like 2005 Chip Chase. And like you swap his head so he has like gray hair.
What if his wheelchair turns into like exoskeleton legs with cool wheels?
Yeah!
That he could roll a skate around on.
I just want there to also be a head swap for his hair to have gone completely gray by 2005.
Okay.
So like, but when he's in his mid-30s, he's just gone dead gray.
Well, it's because he's too much of a scientist to like be hung up on things like cosmetic appearances, and so he's not going to dye his hair. I mean, he's got science to do.
That's right.
He's got to write computer viruses that cause computers to explode when you put a floppy disk in them.
Oh, and then in 2005...
Which is what computer viruses did in 1984.
In 2005, what if he has Dr. Archiville's cyborg hand? And we just never explain why. It's just that sometime in those, you know, 20 years, he took it. Something real dark happened.
Everyone's afraid to bring it up.
That's why no one talks to Chip Chase anymore. Every now and then his cyborg arm glitches out and he just starts talking like Dr. Archiville.
Wasn't that a plot point in the Metal Gear games?
It precisely was, but I couldn't resist drawing the illusion. Any other thoughts on Masterpiece Bumblebee?
No. I said that I really liked it, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
No, he's cool. The two faces, just like the straight face and the smiling face, I don't think they look different enough.
I completely agree. I just took the non-smiling face and put it back in the box. And
yeah, it's disappointing that the faceplate, like more original toy face, was an Amazon Japan exclusive.
Yeah, it's out there to get for not too expensive, only still kind of expensive for what it is.
Yeah.
Like, if you want, you can spend $15 shipped and get one. And I did. It's not here yet.
Nah.
But that's also because I just had $15 sitting there that I could have used for something smarter, but I was like, but I like Bumblebee so much, I want his faceplate.
It was on the floor. You dropped it once like 2 months ago and just couldn't be bothered to pick it up.
Well, that money's basically dead to me, so I better go spend it on something.
It was on the floor. I mean, yeah, it was just there.
I'm not putting it back in my wallet, okay?
Why would I put it in my wallet? It was on the floor. It's gross.
Ugh.
I guess I could rinse it off in the sink, being plastic and all.
I could. I could do that. I could give it a nice warm soapy soak. Any other Transformers?
But that's money laundering.
Sorry, I just like actually died for a second.
Well,
any
how's
other
your innocence doing?
Any other Transformers in your life this week?
No, I'm waiting to ship that pile of loot. And right. There's nothing new around here on the shelves.
Yeah. On my own end, I don't really have any new, like, toys, Transformers to talk about. I have relevant things to talk about. I'm filming them now, and I don't know if I talked about them when they came in, but I got a couple review samples from Toy Hacks, formerly ToyStages.com, and that's Toy Hacks with an X, because I actually don't know why.
Because they're hackers.
But they're from the same little family of creators as Repro Labels, Ergo, they have access to really good printing equipment. So they make these backdrops.
They're totally infringing on Robbie the Robot.
No, he's got a sideways thing and an upways thing on his head. Robbie the Robot didn't have asymmetrical
things. Except for he did.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, what if this thing's name is Robbie with an I?
Then they're also infringing.
Yeah, well. They are. But they also are making these backdrop things, which, like, there's not much to, like, it's a backdrop. You kind of know whether or not you want one by virtue of what it actually is. The main talking point for me is it printed well? And it is. The backdrop part is a thick cardstock. It's really sturdy. The ink is really clean and crisp. And it's got a kind of matte finish, so it's kind of like a really well-produced, you know, photo print. And it's the box reeked of glorious ink fumes when I cut it open. So I got a leather.
Oh, did you buy these, or were they sent to you?
They were review samples, so they were sent to me. They sent me one of their large ones and a couple of... They sent me one that was in a large print, where it's just a backdrop with some floor tiles, and then they sent me a couple that were cut in their cube shelf size, where it's basically like they take one of those backdrops, cut it in half, and print it, and print each half at a size that is made to go in a Detolf shelf.
I was going to ask, how do these fit into a Detolf shelf?
They literally make a print size for Detolfs. And if you have two side-by-side Detolfs and you get like the A and B versions of the cube shelf cut, then you can like put the displays in side by side and have a linked display across two Detolf shelves with an invisible glass wall between the middle. So they're kind of cool. They're all, like, all the Transformers ones are super G1 referential. There's, like, all the different arc sets, and there's, like, the space bridge. There's that weird Decepticon penile tower thing that would always come up out of the water. I always thought that thing looked kind of funny. And it's called Water Tower here. These all have real clever names, like Hero Bot Computer and Evil Bot Bridge. But yeah, the print quality's good, so if you're into the idea of backdrops, like, they aren't garbage.
This He-Man one for He-Man and Cringer powering up is kind of cool.
What's that one? Oh, Transformation. I hadn't looked at that. Oh, that's cool! Yeah, he's got, like, the circular Battle Cat arc on the left side.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's neat. Guess there aren't any... Oh, no, they have black floor tiles for it. Okay. The floor tiles are kind of neat. They, like, give you low-tack adhesive circles to, like, stick floor tiles together. If you want to have, like, a matching floor. But, yeah, I'm working on a short video about those at the moment, so they're on my mind. I also got in and applied the $35 Repro Label set for Generations Metroplex, because I left my Metroplex unstickered all this time, and even bought a second sticker sheet off someone for like $5 to have a spare one, and I was like, I'm gonna film him unstickered, then I'm gonna film him with stock stickers, then I'm gonna tear them off him and film him with the Repro Labels. And then like a year passed, and I did some reading, and everyone who actually went through the process of stickering him with the stock ones, then ripping them off and putting the Repro Labels on, said it was one of the most arduously long and boring things they had ever done in their entire lives. So I decided, you know what? I will just have two stock sticker sheets that are unused for now, and I'll just put the Repro Labels on, and I'll deal with it. So I put the Repro Labels on him. It was a long process, but it's a very nice Repro Label set. They add a lot of chrome to him. They actually chrome his thighs and one of his chest vents via basically like mirror shiny stickers that you apply over all these different surfaces that kind of look like vac metal chrome, but they don't chip and they don't have, like, I don't know, as much goutiness, because they don't chrome his entire thighs up to the hips. It's just a section of his thighs, and I think it's a little classier, and it's just very, very shiny stickers. Like, it looks really good. So now my Generations Metroplex actually looks, like, dressed, and he's not naked anymore. Mm-hmm. And I dig how he looks. I wanted to spruce him up because I'm getting so into the Iron Factory Legend-sized toys that are all kind of built around the idea of interacting with him. I was like, I want Turrets and Manacle and all these other ones to have a nice place to live, so I'll dress up their house with Repro Labels. And it was a fun process. Like, you need tweezers. You really need tweezers or an X-Acto knife to lever some of these little tiny stickers in, and the instructions are non-existent, and Repro Label's own photography does not actually show you where a good 25% of the stickers go. So you got to do a little bit of research and hunting around. A lot of people spent a good week or two sussing out the sticker sheet and talking to the designer and figuring out where everything goes. Everything has a place to go, though. There's very few spares left behind. So I was impressed. Looks really good. That's about it for my on-topic stuff. But yeah, I hadn't done a large-scale Repro Labels upgrade like that before, so it was a really cool experience. Moving into the world of off-topic, Seth, did you do anything un-Transformers?
Yeah, I got a couple things.
Uh-oh.
So I was telling you off mic, I got an Andre the Giant figure just today.
Yeah.
Just a couple hours ago. So it was one of the WWE elites. So those figures come with like a little extra. They come with some tailored clothes or special accessories like ladders or folded chairs or whatever. So this was an Andre the Giant, and one, it's Andre the Giant. Like, he's beyond just a pro wrestler. It's Andre the Giant. I mean, come on, the dude was a legend.
Eighth wonder of the world.
Yes, exactly. And I was like, oh, it's an Andre, and I take a quick glance at it. I'm like, well, he's got a little tailored singlet on, and some of the elites don't come with hardly anything special, and they're kind of disappointing when you see them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was starting to worry that that's what Andre was, but then I could see that there was something black in the package with him, and I'm like, what? What's this other thing in here? And I realized it's a hairpiece that just pops onto his head to give him like his crazy 1970s fro. And then I was like, oh, I gotta get this. I gotta get this. It's right before Christmas. You're not supposed to buy yourself stuff just before Christmas, but my girlfriend was already buying herself a $30 Lego set, so I was gonna get away with an $18 wrestling figure because I just had to have that fro. And I've just been goofing around a little bit as we've been recording, like sticking the fro on other 6-inch tall characters.
Yeah, I like it on Radioactive Man. It just works.
Did you see the Darth Vader one?
I didn't. I saw Captain America. I'll go to your Twitter.
Yeah.
I got it open.
Yeah, I put on Darth Vader. Put on Captain America, Radioactive Man, Chewbacca the Wookiee. There's a lot more to go.
Oh, man. It's Darth Vader with his helmet off, too. That's great.
Yeah. I took Darth Vader's helmet off, and I put the hair on backwards, so that's actually the back of the hair.
I like the Radioactive Man one, because Andre's in the background going, like, he took my hair.
Well, he's face-palming in the Captain America one.
Oh, he got it. Well...
Well,
perspective face palming.
Right. I fake, like, he can't actually face palm. I just faked it with the angle.
Yeah. It's some creative cinematography.
Right. Camera work.
Yeah.
Tricky camera. But, you know, these are Mattel figures, so they're almost really good. Like, it seems like Mattel always, like, comes, like, one or two steps away from kind of where Hasbro's at. With articulation and paint apps.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got really into the Shield, like watching a lot of clips of the Shield, and thought like those three were really cool. And I was tempted to get the Shield figures, but it's like the paint on Seth Rollins's hair looks kind of blotchy and not great. And Dean Ambrose's face sculpt is weird. So I just kind of backed away from it and decided not to.
Yeah, like on the record, what, like I've been interested in getting some of those things, and then I'd see how the heads turned out, and I thought they kind of looked like junk, and I was like, well, I don't want to spend $20 on something that doesn't look like the person it's supposed to be. So walked away.
Well, and I think they do that 3D facial scanning.
Do they?
I think so.
What? Oh, that's...
But it seems like the...
Make a
like,
stupid face before we scan your face, okay?
Well, it seems like the current wrestlers that they have on staff and scan the faces for don't look like the people. And then when they do like a throwback character, like an Andre or a Macho Man, where those guys aren't around to scan anymore and they actually have to scalp them, they look way more like the people they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
So maybe scanning faces isn't the way to go. Or maybe I'm confusing that with the video game. Maybe they're scanning faces for the video game. Maybe they're doing both. I don't remember. It's not my job.
I'm not a wrestler face scanner, okay?
And Andre's got he's got a problem with his left arm. It doesn't go down straight. It's always just sort of sticking out a little bit.
Aw.
Yeah. That's something that Hasbro's Marvel figures do sometimes. Like an arm won't go down right. Or is it just stuck? No. Because when I move his left arm out, it just doesn't look like there's as much of a cut to the joint. Or was it just stuck?
Might just need some heat treatment.
Yeah, I got it down a little farther. It's still, yeah, it could be better. It was just kind of stuck.
Yeah.
I kind of just muscled it down. But, okay, yeah, it looks better now. So I take all that back.
Fantastic. Wonderful.
Yeah, but, you know, it's Andre. I had to get Andre. Andre's awesome. And then I got a couple 3A figures.
3A?
Yeah, Venture Cartel 6-inch figures.
I'm really getting tempted to get a 3AA in January because they're also getting that Judge Death out, and I really want a 6-inch Judge Death.
I don't think I've seen pictures of that.
Oh yeah, they just put it up. They're going to put pre-orders up for him in January. If they're smart, they'll put him up after 3AA.
Well,
I still kind of can't believe they put up pre-orders for Bumblebee right before. They could have hooked a ton of new people in with that.
Yeah.
How are the Blister Pack Adventure Cartel guys?
Well, I was disappointed they're Blister Packed and on the little shoebox box.
Yeah, that's the best packaging they've done, I think, to date.
So I got two. I got Golden Dolphin and Red Hand Tommy Mission.
Mm-hmm.
They both come with... Okay, so one of Golden Dolphin's hands is a robot hand. And that's part of the character story.
Yeah.
Like, him and his sister found this robot, and they cut their hands off, and each took one hand from the robot.
Metal.
Yeah. They both come with a normal hand also. But at least with the Tommy Mission one, it's not painted. It's just this raw plastic hand.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. him with a red hand is fine. They have all the good stuff you would expect from a 3A figure. The tailored clothes are nice. Nice weathering and detailing. Both of their feet, though, Tommy has like high tops on, and Golden Dolphin has like knee-high Doc Marten kind of boots, which means they have zero ankle articulation.
Bummer.
So that really kind of hurts their posability because you can't move their ankles whatsoever.
Yeah, that I was just messing with a grunt the other day and remembering how, like, it's like the one missing part from that equation on those smaller figures.
Yeah, and with the grunts, they have so much piled onto them. Their articulation is just shot in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
You can't hardly move anything because of all the stuff they have piled on. And then, like, Tommy's jeans are tight. Like, they're really tight. Like, he's got skinny jeans. So that kind of hurts your ability to move his legs. But, you know, they're well done. Like, Tommy has a hooded track jacket. And when you put down the zipper, he has a t-shirt on underneath.
That's cool.
Yeah, so that's kind of neat. So they're all right. Golden Dolphin's got a weird face. He looks weird.
Yes,
he also has a dolphin head for a hat.
the black version of Golden Dolphin, Soy Dolphin, is really inexpensive right now on Big Bad, and I almost got it a couple times.
So I opened them. And, like, I kind of pass them to my girlfriend so she could look at them. And she's looking at Golden Dolphin. And she's trying to read what it says on his shirt. And she goes, does his shirt say crash test anus on it? I'm like, wait, let me see. Yep, it says crash testing and S across it.
Why wouldn't it?
Yeah. Who are you to judge what this fictional character does or doesn't do with his anus?
I crash tested all the what?
Yeah, so they're cool.
Mm-hmm. I'm real tempted by the two Ankos from that set. The Jungle Vet and the Johnson.
I had the Jungle on pre-order initially, and then I kind of backed off because I was like, I shouldn't be spending all this money.
I forgot, or I didn't catch. Was Golden Dolphin's robot hand static, or did it have little joints in it?
No, it's static.
Okay, it's like the way it's
sculpted and like the really kind of deep black wash they did on it. I thought it might have been posable at one point, but it's not.
Okay, that's like the 10 finger gangs. I got one of those at that scale, and yeah, it was just like static hands, and like they actually had an alternate hand for the gun. I wonder if that's what Jungle Vet does.
Yeah, I would have liked to have gotten a little Shadow, but she was sold out.
Yeah.
By the time I got to the pre-order, and I'm not going to like pay extra to hunt it down.
Or hunt one down. If the two Ankos are still there like next month, I think I might go for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like on portable scale, I like the robots the most. I think like Golden Dolphin I like as an idea, and then I was looking at the design and I was like, I don't dislike it, but I don't know if I want to spend like $50 on it. And then there are like two fighting JCs, but I've already got a JC with a robe, and I think that looks better.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm satisfied with the JC I have. I don't need other colors.
Yeah.
So.
And the Zombs zombies were kind of boring. I was surprised.
Yeah, I've never been into the Zombs.
Yeah, like they're just dudes.
with bad complexions.
Yeah, and like 3A branded t-shirts. I'm like, what are you saying about your customer base?
It's kind of funny when they do that because like all the like Nom de Plume and all his different colors, he always had a 3A shirt on.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny that they do that.
Looks like a bunch of it actually came back in stock recently. I'm going to do a quick calculation on something. There's a dumb way to buy this Adventure Cartel Wave. Very dumb way.
Entire box.
Yeah. What does that price out to, though? That's not even much of a price cut on them. If you buy the box, they're $37.50 each. So you're saving like maybe $5 or $10. That's okay.
$5 or $10 total.
Oh no, on each one.
No.
$37.50 each.
Well, I mean, you're better than not saving anything.
Yeah. I was hoping it was gonna be something crazy. But
yeah, like if I come back around and they do a sale and like they cut the price on the Jungle Vet, then maybe I'll pick it up then.
Yeah.
But otherwise, the only one I really would be interested in is Little Shadow.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty. So is that about it on your end?
Yep. Did you hear Banjo's bell just then?
I did. I was like, what do you want?
I was starting to think that he wasn't going to make it on this episode because he hasn't had a sneezing fit.
He just popped his way in. He's like, hey, I wasn't here, so just shook at us. He's still there, or did he just leave afterwards?
No, he's like in his cat bed. He just shook his head.
Okay.
And it jingled.
Been better if
he's
just
currently licking his paw.
It'd been better if he just walked in and just shook his bell and then just left. It's like, I just want you to know I'm here. Alright, well I got an off-topic thing worth talking about. So I was talking about how I got the King of Beasts, that unofficial and now causing great legal trouble Lion Voltron that a new company did. And so after getting that and, you know, doing a lot of my reading up on its history, I heard a whole lot about Miracle Productions' licensed for China only vehicle Voltron, which had a long sordid history and is a very flawed toy. But it's also in the Voltron shadow of toys that are probably never going to get high-end toys outside of, like, a Toynami release. And Toynami have been recycling Masterpiece Voltron for 10 years. So I decided, well, you know what? I have to know. And I also found a site that was selling this thing. So this thing sold for somewhere between $260 to $290 shipped for a while. I found a site that was selling it for $160 shipped out of China with fast shipping. So I was like, okay, you know what? Let's do this. So I'll try to find you a picture of what it looks like. It is a flawed set, but it's an interesting set. It's 15 little vehicles. They combine into Vehicle Voltron, or Die Rugger XV, if you're so inclined. Nearly every vehicle has a chunk of diecast in it somewhere. That was one of its selling points back when it first was announced, like 4 years ago, was that it was loaded down with gobs and gobs of metal. And it is. And many of its joints have a lot of trouble dealing with the sheer amount of weight in every single part of its body. It's got a lot of good ideas in it. It just has a notable lack of polish. There are a lot of button, like spring-loaded button locked closures on it, and a lot of those buttons are hard-edged small rectangular buttons that hurt like hell to use the first few times. But it's kind of neat. I wouldn't recommend buying it at all if you aren't even whatsoever interested in Voltron. And if you do try to buy it, don't pay more than just under $200 shipped for it. Like, don't pay $250 for it. Don't even pay $230 for it. Like, if you can find one for a deal like I did for, like, $160 shipped, it's heavy enough, and the shipping was fast enough that I feel like I paid a good chunk of change just for the shipping out of that. And thus, this just felt like a much better buy. And it looks really good next to the King of Beasts. But you got to go in ready and aware that it is flawed. Even if it says it's the version 3, which is really just the version 2 with extra paint. Or not even extra paint, just slightly better paint. Very flawed toy. But it's cool to have like a modern and somewhat posable rendition of this character in my hands now that doesn't look like an old toy. End of day, I think I kind of like it. But I also went in knowing just how much crazy sordid history it had and what flaws to expect and be ready for.
Yeah, I always thought that there was some cool stuff with that design.
Yeah. They do a lot of neat stuff combining it together. Like, just it combines real solid. It's like, just the best way to describe how its weight affects it is that, like, if you put him down, he has so much diecast in his upper body, and so much in his lower body, but so much in his upper body that, like, each connection between every vehicle sags, like, a little bit, but it adds up to him kind of slumping forward, and then, like, you have to kind of push him back upright.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
It's kind of neat. There's some goofy stuff about it. Like, you see how he has, like, just trucks for his feet?
Yeah.
So originally on the version 1, there were these little spring-loaded panels that were supposed to come down to give him flat bases on his feet, and for whatever reason, those got nixed when they fixed the toy. So he just stands, he literally has rolling rubber-tired roller skates on his feet, and he's such a heavy toy that kind of gets scary sometimes when you put him down and he starts just quietly rolling. Because it's like,
I'm getting out of here.
I don't want this toy to actually fall off a table because it will probably explode. Also, his head and his chest jet connect with magnets. And the chest jet connects with a magnet super tight. The problem is, it has a ton of wiggle room and it's only one magnet connection. And it's real easy for him, like, just playing with him to slap the chest jet off his chest. Because it only connects by a magnet. So this is another one of those, like, really good ideas, kind of poor execution things. I don't know how much I'd shared. I forgot how much I'd shared of the history of this thing. But, like, this was announced, like, back in, I think, 2010, 2011. And then there was a sole retailer called Toy Freaks, run by one guy, who became the English-speaking and distribution point of contact. And then there were delays after delays. And then Miracle Productions sent out 100 of these to the first 100 pre-orders who had paid a lot of money, like $290, I think. And they were garbage. Like, the toy literally could not hold together. Parts were just, like, snapping themselves apart from the combination. So basically what's rumored is Miracle Productions ran their first 100 just, like, test shots. and then just sent those out to get beta test feedback without really telling anybody.
That's terrible.
And then after those came out and there were still people waiting on pre-orders, now hearing that the toy was garbage, Miracle Productions took all the feedback, fixed the toy, then started selling it themselves for $30 less than what other people had pre-ordered it for. And so it became a debacle. And apparently the guy who runs Toy Freaks has shut down Toy Freaks because he this whole thing obliterated his reputation. Because as far as I've heard, he wasn't entirely faultless in this whole matter. Miracle Productions came off super shady out of all this. And that's partly also why I wanted to pick it up at that lower price, because I was like, I want to see what this toy is like when I'm just coming into this and buying it without having been so close to the process of its development for so many years. Because a lot of the feedback out there are people who pre-ordered it and were waiting over a year for the toy and had been watching it being developed for over a year before that. And like the video reviews, it's amazing. They're just telling their story usually at some point in the video. And it's a really, really cool piece of history. It sucks for a lot of, like, nearly everyone who was involved, but looking at it from the outside in, it's fascinating. So anyway, I got my hands on a little part of that story, and it's okay. But that's about it from my off-topic end, I think. Excuse me. I got to see some of those Batman animated figures past Batman when I went to visit Ian Reed, because I lent him my gigantic action Scorponok so he could take some pictures of it. Because he's taking some of the best photos in the fandom right now, and I wanted him to get to take photos of a gigantic stupid toy that he probably otherwise wouldn't like have. And so he's hanging on to it for the time being and has taken, I think, 3 or 4 really good pictures. Check him out if you haven't seen him yet. It is super cool to see those Batman figures, because he got ones that weren't broken, but they were also super scary, because I was like, I don't really want to touch them because they might explode. But I still kind of want to pick him up, because I like Batman a lot, and I know what to expect. But I was happy to see that DC Collectibles has now been asking for feedback on the toys in light of how many of them are breaking. That's a nice little show of humility on their part.
I got some feedback for you. Stop sending breakable stuff.
Stop making your toys break when you're... anything else from your end, Seth? I don't think I have anything else over here.
No, I don't think so.
All right. Oh, you know what? I do. I forgot. Wow, I forgot. Hang on. I got a picture of it even somewhere. I'm gonna look it up. But I got something from Mechazone, from David White, the guy who does those 3D printed robot toys.
Oh, okay.
He did a run of 30 of a thing called a Bag-O Bots, which he did kind of in the spirit of, like, stocking stuffers. So for $30, it was 4 printed robots, and in the picture, I took a picture of them next to Masterpiece Bumblebee to show how kind of small they are. But he said that in the listing that they were, you know, articulated at the shoulders and hips and waist and neck, and I just assumed it was, like, you know, a 5mm peg, so it would just swivel forward and backward. But they've actually got some ball joints. So, like, the shoulders, hips, and ankles are ball joint poseable, with, you know, not a huge outward range, but a pretty decent outward range on some parts. The ankle ball joints are kind of incredible on the green one, because his feet are huge, but the ball joints are, like, located underneath that huge plate on the top of his foot. But they're really nice. Like, they're just printed. They're not acetone finished or anything. I really like them. It's for 30 bucks for the 4. It was a real nice bang for your buck. He's gotten a lot of feedback of people saying, what, I wish I knew this was out when you were selling them, because I want some. So he's probably going to do another run in January or February. But
The green and purple one are a little Battletech-ish. That's cool.
I think he's worked on Battletech at some point in his career. Huh. And he has a lot of Battletech influence in some of his designs. But the purple one's neat, because the purple one even has, like, ball-jointed hips and ankles. Like, the knees and elbows don't move on them, because they're small. But... They're cool, and like they have small peg connections that are of a uniform size, so you can like switch weapons between them if you want, or you can stick 2 pairs of legs on the purple one in place of those missile pods if you just want to make them look stupid.
You took this picture.
Yeah,
this is your desk.
Yes.
What's going on with the frozen character back there. What's going on? What are you doing there?
Oh.
What do you got going on there? What are you doing?
That's a coupon I received from Korean Toy Shop when I bought a Tobot. And luckily I didn't show the code on there. But yeah,
do you want to build a snowman? I think you want to build a snowman.
I still haven't seen Frozen.
Neither have I. I just know there's something about building a snowman.
Okay, all I know is that there's some song called Let It Go that everyone likes or hates. And I haven't heard it yet. Because I don't want to listen to it without seeing the movie. And I don't know when I'll see Frozen, but it took me a while to see Tangled. But I did! Darn it!
I haven't seen that either.
Tangled was okay. It was okay. It was I had a damaged Blu-ray, so I had to like restart the movie halfway through. But.
Oh, have you seen any of the new Netflix series Marco Polo?
No, I haven't. My mom hates it.
Whoa!
She talked some mad trash on Marco Polo over the phone, and I was like, "Oh, okay. Well,
we've been enjoying it."
Yeah, I can't remember what her mad trash talk was anymore. I think that she just didn't like the style. But I like that screenshot you put up that showed my cameo.
Oh, did you see the Geronimus Prime cameo?
No.
Oh, man. Like, it's a little bit of a stretch to say that the guy playing Genghis Khan looks like you. But this tax collector guy, like, I tweeted a picture of it to Jared. And he was like, I thought that was me from the thumbnail. But well, yeah, my only real problem with the show at the moment, we're 7-8 episodes in, is, I'm trying to talk and find the picture at the same time.
So that's I have a bit of filler I could throw in while you're looking for the picture.
Well, just what I was going to say is, my only real beef is, whenever martial arts starts happening, it's too, like, everything else is like kind of feels realistic, and then people start doing martial arts and it's like kung fu movie crazy martial arts, like
that, where is the people... Jared. Jesus. Okay.
Yeah, where the people doing the martial arts are like, they're so like superhuman. It kind of seems weird. It doesn't feel as grounded in reality as the rest of it.
I'd like to check it out because, you know, I support Netflix original stuff when I can, that being House of Cards and BoJack Horseman. I'd like to give this a shot. That's just insane. That's insane how much that looks like Jared.
Well, when you the first few scenes that the guy's in, he's wearing a hat. And then that first time you see him without his hat, I like paused it and I turned to my girlfriend who met Jared at TFCon Chicago. And I'm like, it's Jared. And she's like, oh my God. I'm like, everybody I know is showing up in the show. That guy looks like Vangelis. This dude looks like Jared.
What do you think we'd secretly been doing at all those conventions you couldn't make it to? We're making Marco Polo. All I was going to fill with was my Twitter feed suddenly got taken over by a bunch of Kindle stuff on Amazon, which was some extremely niche Kindle erotica.
What?
So they were all talking. There's a novel here by an author named Hunter Fox. Novel is called Nailed by Dragons. What do you think this book is about?
Okay, either we talked about this before, or I heard somebody talking about it on some other podcast.
Okay, you must have heard about it on another podcast. I had never seen this before. I'm not going to read everything because, you know, this goes into explicit pretty fast. But according to the product description, it is about a guy who he wants to go have sex with some dragons because they saved his life.
I heard about this somewhere else. I can't remember where. But
then there's another one from some other... Oh my god, this author's name is Colt Alcove.
That's a great pen name.
And this book is called Taken by Canada.
Yeah, I've heard about all this before somewhere.
It's about a character whose dream is to have sex with Canada, the country. Apparently, this book will tell you the answer. Length 4 pages estimated. Okay. I'll leave that alone now. Yeah, that stuff's all for adults only, so don't go look that up if you're underage or you're gonna get in trouble. In fact, if you look that stuff up anywhere where people can see you, you'll probably get in trouble. But
or
yeah.
At least people will think less of you.
Thanks, Twitter, for sharing all that. Just the moment that I went to look at Twitter thinking, oh, I wonder what people are talking. Oh, what?
Oh, I remember what my other beef with Marco Polo is.
All right.
So you have all these Asian actors, and nobody has the same accent. So, like, some of the characters have, like, clearly English isn't their first language.
Mm-hmm.
All their lines are in English. They're very well spoken, but they have accents from wherever their homeland was, China or Korea, wherever they might have come from. And then some of them have just regular American sounding voices, and this one kind of sounds a little New York. And it's just this weird mishmash of accents. And then Marco has like a pretty heavy Italian accent, and it's just, which he, as he should. But then, so then there's this guy Muhammad, who's Middle Eastern, and his accent doesn't really sound Middle Eastern. So the accents are a little all over the map. What are you going to do?
Eh.
It's not that big of a deal.
Go, go, Netflix original series is. Anyway, I think that's us for this podcast. So I'm going to bid you all adieu and wish you all a Merry Christmas or X-mas or whatever thing you want to call the part where there's something and there's presents.
Hanukkah's kicking off as we speak.
Well, I got some hot Hanukkah action going on here.
And by the time this episode comes out, Kwanzaa should be in effect.
Some of that quantum Kwanzaa.
Everything's happening.
Yeah.
'Tis the season and all that jive.
I've been getting the Cards Against Humanity stuff, and the envelopes are pretty grim.
Oh?
Yeah, it took me 3 envelopes. I've only got 4 of them so far, but like 3 envelopes in, I was like, this is like, it's getting very dark, this festive-looking Santa Claus artwork. The story it's telling is growing extremely dark.
Did you get the box of BS?
So I was at Crin's when that went up. And she was getting real antsy at the idea that I might actually buy that and have it shipped to her place. And I was like, don't worry, I won't. But then I saw videos and pictures of how fancy the boxes were, and I got real, like, regretful of, like, oh man, but that box looks so nice. And then I saw that people were able to flip the stuff online on eBay for, like, $50 a box of dung. And I was like, man, if I knew I could flip a box of actual feces on eBay for quintuple its value, I would have done that.
Well, I like the people who didn't believe that they were actually going to get a box of poo.
That's pretty funny, too.
And then when they found out that they were actually getting a box of poo, they got upset and tried to cancel their orders.
Yeah, it's like,
and
no.
There was one guy, I guess, demanded a refund, and they said they couldn't be bothered, but they will send him more. they sent him like a whole bunch more.
That's great. I really like the blog post I read about how they, you know, how they crafted that whole situation, and that like the poo they sent is pasteurized and doesn't actually have a scent. Like it's bacterialist. The poo smell was from a scratch and sniff label company that happened to contact them while they were putting this together. Great. And one of the scratch and sniff samples that they offered was poop.
Great.
So the smell of poop with those boxes is actually a sticker on the inside lid that most people didn't realize was there. So the poop is pasteurized and scentless.
Weird. Yeah, I saw one pictorial review of somebody opening theirs, and they like checked the inside of the lid to see if there was a card hidden like in the bigger blacker box.
Yeah
like they were desperately trying to find something else of value besides the poo to no avail.
Yeah, I just love that, like, it was shrink-wrapped. It arrived in a classy shrink-wrapped black box. That's wonderful. Anyway, now I'll end the show. So goodbye, everybody. Have a good night, and we'll talk to you later.
Well, also talking about movies, this morning my girlfriend and I went to see the new Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 1.
I still haven't seen any of them, and I legitimately would like to.
The first two I found entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, those two movies felt like a bunch of little things happening. Like, the movie just felt like a bunch of little vignettes, almost.
Mm-hmm.
Mockingjay Part 1 feels like a big, concise story.
That's really good to hear, because for movies that were ostensibly the same demographic age-wise as, say, the Twilight movies and the Harry Potter movies, for them to start off strong and apparently get better is, I mean, that is breaking the chain a little bit.
Yeah, with the first two, is like, yeah, I enjoyed it, it was fun. It wasn't a big deal, but it was fun. Well, the art design's all right. The characters are cool. But I walked out of this one going like, that movie was awesome.
Nice.
This is far and away my favorite Hunger Games movie so far. And I don't want to get into like explaining why, because to explain why gives a lot away.
Let me tell you what happened in it.
But like, I'm a sucker for like scenes of like the hopeless rising up and like the noble sacrifice and like the big speech before the battle where the good guys should have no chance of winning, but they're going to rally with this big motivational speech.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I'm always a sucker. Like that stuff chokes me up. And man, there were like two parts in like the first half hour where I was like, keep it together, man. Keep it together, man. Don't cry, man.
How about Idris Elba's Pacific Rim speech? That one worked for me pretty well.
Yeah, like that one didn't like choke me up. That made me just be like, yeah, this is awesome. Yeah, but there's a couple things in this where I'm just like, oh my god. And just the like where the Katniss Everdeen character is by the time you get to the end of this movie, she's an incredibly complex character.
Mm-hmm.
Like if the original material was easier, like, she could have been, like, a superhero. She could have been jumping around, like, Legolas and Lord of the Rings, killing everything with her bow and arrow. But she's so much more real and not just, like, this superwoman.
Yeah.
That man, this newest movie was really good.
Yeah, I mean, they're the first one, and I think the second one now, we're kicking around on Netflix for a while. I just never, they were always sitting there, and I was like, yep. I almost have a responsibility to watch these, and then I would just, like, tomorrow.
Yeah, I recommend checking it out. I recommend it.
Yeah. Well, on my own end, I actually would really like to see Hobbits 2 and 3.
Oh, we still haven't seen the second one. I just bought that on Blu-ray today.
I still haven't either. I saw the first one because my friend Jacob really likes Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings world, and he readily says, like, that he's watching those movies with absolute bias going in, wanting to enjoy himself and just sit there and watch that world happen. Yeah. And so I watched the first one with him on Blu-ray, and it was fine. I had a big problem with something they did at the start that they should have done at the end. But, the problem with watching people talk about the Lord of the Rings movies is that even during the first trilogy, by the third one, it became culturally fashionable to talk trash on them. Which makes it more difficult for me to figure out, like, well, what were the actual problems with this movie and what is the dogpiling?
Yeah, my issue is, we're like, with The Lord of the Rings, you had one movie per book.
Yeah.
And when you do that, a lot of stuff's going to have to get trimmed out. Some of it, I think they were fine trimming out, because it's kind of slows things down. Some of it's a little hokey. Some of the stuff that got cut out, I did miss.
Mm.
But to turn the one Hobbit book into three movies, they've had to add a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
in some cases, that's worse, in my opinion, than cutting things.
I kind of wish they could have gone with a different overarching title for that trilogy, because it's like, it's pulling from The Hobbit, of course, but it's also pulling from, like, at least two other Tolkien sources. And I wish there was some better, or at least more communicative name, rather than just a bunch of those, you know, The Hobbit colon, insert more topical title.
Well, some of it is like, they take a sequence that's like a page and a half in the book and stretch it out to a 15, 20 minute action scene.
Mm-hmm.
And it just becomes tedious after a while. And then they add characters, and a character that was only like briefly mentioned in the book is now like a secondary character in the movie. And I don't know about adding all the stuff. They really should have kept it tighter to the book and done two movies. Because in my opinion, there's a very clear spot where you could have cut the book into two very clear separate movies, and they decided to turn it into three.
Yeah, I mean, I having only seen the first one, like, you know, I saw the albino, not orc, but the bigger orcs.
Yeah.
That guy, like, after watching the first movie, I was kind of okay with him, because I was like, whatever, he's sort of seems foreign, but...
There's
he works as an antagonist.
Yeah, there's no villain that carries through the entire story.
Yeah.
Like, they have a bunch of small adventures on their way to the big showdown at the end.
Yeah.
And there's no single villain that carries through. And I guess they felt they needed that for the movie.
Yeah, and it, like, as an entity in the movie, I didn't mind them too much. As far as disjointed stuff, the only thing that kind of bugged me was there were times where stuff was being cut together from these different sources without... There were times where there was no smoothing. So, like, you know, you got these guys being chased by crazy orcs. Then you have this crazy scene with Radagast the Brown. And then, and this is all just from the first Hobbit movie. Then you get this point where they have to part ways with Radagast, but it's done in a way that... felt like the hand of the author rather than natural events, because it was the hand of the author going, well, we can't have Radagast there for this next scene because having a wizard there would literally mean the scene could not happen the same way, so we're gonna figure out some super shallow way for him to get split off from these guys. And I was like, oh man. that was more so the kind of thing that bugged me.
Yeah, well, Radagast is, in my opinion, one of the problems. Like, he pops up once or twice in the Lord of the Rings, but he's nowhere in The Hobbit.
Yeah.
And then now he's all over The Hobbit. Like, hey, man. Like, you're supposed to be over there, not over here.
But,
you know, whatever.
Aside from the doings of Middle-earth, we've also got a little bit of Transformers to talk about.